Welcome to the 19th episode of the Frank Online Marketing Show, brought to you by IBM Canada. I'm Tema Frank, your host. This week, I attended the DX3 conference in Toronto. It was an amazing conference. I give full credit to the organizers. They had a whole bunch of really excellent speakers, both in the public parts for which you didn't even have to pay to attend, as well as in some of the smaller sessions for which you did have to pay. I will be probably doing a few blog posts based on some of the things that I heard at the conference, but I decided today I wanted to start with an interview that I did with Mike Volpe, who is the Chief Marketing Officer of HubSpot. HubSpot is a marketing automation software program. What really impressed me about HubSpot was they give away tons and tons and tons of absolutely excellent content. So it's perhaps no surprise that in my interview with Mike, he talked a lot about the value of creating excellent content for your prospective customers. This week, I'm also doing a little experiment. I distilled this into a roughly 5-minute video clip, as well as this fuller audio podcast. So I'd love to get your feedback afterwards if you chose to listen to one or the other, why, or if you listened to them both, which did you like better? Contact me at Tema, T-E-M as in mother, A, at frankonlinemarketing.com, and I'll have a brief chat with you after the interview.
Hi, I'm Mike Volpe, the Chief Marketing Officer at HubSpot.
You gave a really interesting talk this morning at DX3 in which you talked about what we hear a lot about now, the importance of high-quality content to generate inbound traffic. And the thing that's been striking me is how the heck can a company break through the clutter when everyone's trying to do content marketing?
I think one of the core aspects of inbound marketing is that to attract people in, the content needs to be good. So it's not the volume, more content is great, but it has to be good quality such that people want to share it. People want to promote it on social. They want to share it with their friends by email. They want to link to it. And if you do create the content that attracts that social sharing and the link activity, then you're going to rank higher in search results. You're going to get more activity within social. So I think with email, if you have someone's email address, you can send them an email that has really poor content in it. That's not a permission-centric medium. Mm-hmm. But social and search engines are much more about having good quality content, because in order to have someone share your content on Twitter, they need to think it's good,
right,
as opposed to just like proactively like spamming people. So I think that this whole notion of sort of the social web that we live in today, and the whole point behind inbound marketing, is that marketing is so much more permission-centric today.
Yeah.
And so I think that there may be a large amount of content that's being created today, but to do inbound marketing effectively, you need to have good quality content that people will share, and then that's how it gets in front of people, is because it moves up in the search results because it has more links coming into it.
Mm-hmm.
It gets shared more in social, so it gets seen more because it's good quality. So I think the quality is really that metric that's going to change what we have today from not becoming an overly spammy medium.
No, in terms of quality, though, there are, I guess, two aspects. One is, when I look at the papers that HubSpot does, and they're really great quality papers, I download them. I don't so much share them, although I will often talk about them, I suppose,
yeah,
because of the nature of my business. But there is that type of quality. But there are a lot of people who are writing on similar topics.
Mm-hmm.
The examples that you gave in your presentation, and that a lot of others give as the big stellar examples, all involve an element of humor or some kind of twist. So if you're not a comedy writer, what do you do?
Yeah, I think it comes down to, on big stages, when you're presenting in
person,
people like to present sort of the more quirky ones, because that's the way you get a little bit of rise out of the audience. At the end of the day, it's about your buyer persona.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever is going to be interesting to your buyer persona, that's what you should do. And if your buyer persona loves humor, then yeah, you should figure out how to be humorous. If your buyer persona is a little bit more serious, then that's fine too, but you should respond to your buyer persona. So I think it's really all about the customer and what they think.
How would you recommend that a company differentiate its information then? I mean, let's say internet marketing. You guys write about internet marketing. Thousands of people write about internet marketing. What distinguishes one versus another and makes one rise to the top?
I mean, I think think like a media company. And so what distinguishes the Globe and Mail above other publications? What distinguishes, the New York Times above other publications? I think it's the quality of the content. And
mm-hmm.
people read, you know, those instead of other things because the content is much higher quality.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me, you know, why do you watch certain TV shows versus other TV shows? It's the same type of thing. Why do you subscribe to this podcast versus some other podcasts? It's the same thing. It's the content quality. So it's what is that angle and what is sort of that hook that's going to separate you? And I don't know that I can answer that for what that is for every business.
I
think you need to figure out for yourself. But again, it's really about sort of having that hook and having that difference. And I think that, you know, we have over 1 million people visiting our blog every single month. I think it's because we publish a high volume of good quality content. And I think our big hook is, especially for marketers that are actually doing marketing, that are rolling up their sleeves and doing it, I think we have an awesome amount of content for that audience. I think we're looking to expand the content that we have for CMOs and for some other folks because I don't think we attract them quite as well as we maybe should.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the special word volume here. How much of it is volume versus quality?
So once you've achieved a good quality bar, that you feel like your persona is like, this is good, I want to subscribe to this, I'm going to come back, I'm going to read it over time, I'm going to share it with my friends. Once you've gotten that quality bar, then I think I would ramp up the volume as much as you can while still maintaining that quality bar. All the experiments that we've done internally between blogging once a day, you know, once a week, up to, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day. We're now probably around 2 to 3 times a day.
Wow.
Every time we've increased the volume, not only has the overall amount of traffic increased and the overall amount of leads increased, but the average number of, let's say, page views per article has also gone up. So you think that you start to overwhelm your audience, but in reality, if the content is good, it actually works to attract more people. The higher volume. That all the data that we have suggests that, you know, it's almost impossible to have too much volume.
Interesting. So are you suggesting then that a company would be better off taking money out of sales staff and putting it into writers?
I think, yeah, maybe out of sales staff and putting into writers, or if you're doing other forms of advertising, I would consider taking out of that and putting that into, you know, writers and content creators to fuel the inbound marketing engine. It depends on your sales process. Like, salespeople may be very important to that process.
Sure.
But I think if you're thinking about what you're doing to generate awareness and bring new leads in the door, you know, think about it like a portfolio manager. Maybe you're doing some offline advertising. Maybe you're doing some online advertising. Maybe you're doing some inbound. And you should look at how much you're spending on each of those and how much business those are actually bringing in the door. And as a portfolio manager, you always want to optimize. And if there's one of your assets, perhaps inbound marketing, that's performing better than the rest, you should want to have, you know, own less of the ones that aren't performing as well and invest more in the one that is performing really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose that makes sense. So from the viewpoint of smaller businesses that don't have huge writing staff or marketing staff, what do you think are the most effective places or ways for them to be delivering their content?
So I think for most businesses, having some sort of a blog is a really good idea. It kind of serves as your home base online. I think businesses that start doing social before they blog is sometimes a big mistake, because I think a lot of people start doing social and they're like, well, what do I say? Whereas if you have a blog, at least you're publishing some content, you have some opinions, you have some things that are worthy of being shared with people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a blog can be a great place for a lot of folks to start. And then in terms of getting started with a blog, most of these small business owners have, if you look in your email inbox or your outbox, you're answering questions from customers and prospects and people, you know, that have questions for your industry, for your company all the time.
Yeah.
Take those questions and turn those answers into blog articles.
Yeah.
So the, you know, if the question is, you know, oh, what's the difference between a liner pool and a gunite pool? Someone emails you that question, that's great. Answer them in an email, but then take that email and just recraft it so it's more generic and more public facing. And then that's an article. The title of the article is what's the difference between a liner pool and a gunite pool? And
yep.
The blog article itself is what you answered in that email. So people have questions all the time, and guess what? Some people are asking you those questions. A lot more people are typing those questions into Google.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the trick. If you can take that knowledge from your head as a small business owner and put it up online, people are going to start to find you through Google and through social.
Do you have any sense from the work you do of what is sort of an, I mean, you talked about in terms of blog frequency, more is better. What about length?
So I think the length, again, it
always,
the answer
audience.
Is always, it depends on your audience,
yeah.
It depends on your buyer persona. So if they're a, you know, a, relatively thoughtful and they like really in-depth answers, then you should have longer, more in-depth posts. If they like things with more bullet points, you should do that. If they like really short things, you should do that. So I think a lot of it really boils down to that. I think most people say sort of like a couple hundred words, 200 words or so is a good sort of guideline for kind of the average, where if there's enough meat there that there's some meaning, mm-hmm. But maybe not too much overwhelming. Although one of the best blogs that I love to read is this blog called For Entrepreneurs.
Yes.
And the posts there are pages and pages long. And
wow.
They're very infrequent. They're only like every month or every quarter.
Hmm.
But it's like when this David Skok, when he publishes an article on that site, it is a comprehensive, detailed view of this particular topic, like how to think about customer acquisition cost. And he's got graphs and charts and
wow.
data. And it's for, if you're a data-driven marketer, you love that stuff. And so that's one where it's like he violates all the rules in terms of content length, but he pulls it off really well.
Yeah.
And he has this great audience of people that have this particular view and this particular interest. And so that works well for him. So I think a lot of it really boils down to who your audience is and what they want.
Well, and I suppose if you're doing something really in-depth and long like that, you can break it down and do shorter items that point back to it, I suppose, more regularly.
Yeah,
yeah.
You could do that, although I think that what he's done is like the article really is like 5 pages long, and I think in some ways
he's just got the audience
just wants it all one there. So it's almost like he's taking an entire ebook and publishing it as a blog article is one way to think about it.
Yes.
And for his audience that works. You're right, for other people maybe they want that bite-sized stuff, you know. Yeah.
How would you recommend that companies manage the content? I mean, they've got all these different platforms they're trying to put content on at different frequencies and different times a day. What would you recommend as strategies for managing it all?
Yeah, so I think, again, it's like the answer is always your buyer persona, right? So
yeah.
Who is your buyer and what do they want to hear? I think, you know, what we've tried to do at HubSpot is we have this all-in-one marketing platform. So
mm-hmm.
we try to bring a lot of the things into one place. So you can have your blog and it's connected to social and that's all in one place and that's connected to email, which is in the same place. So one of the things we do with our software is try to make that easier for our customers because everything is in the same place and it's all connected. So you don't have to worry about wiring all that stuff together.
Yeah.
But I would say that the generic sort of overall advice for people is how do you take your content and publish it out to people in a way that your customers want to receive it. So I would start with, again, we talked about the blog being the home base. I think that's good. So take a blog article, and that should also be promoted through social. It should probably be promoted through email, maybe even on the home page of your website,
mm-hmm.
Things like that. So yeah, you want to have all that stuff connected. To me, I think the blog is a good place to start as sort of the home base of your kind of, you know, your inbound marketing engine.
Now, you sounded kind of negative about email, and there's no question. I was one of the people who raised my hand and said I am unsubscribed from many every day,
yeah.
and I'm still overwhelmed by them all.
Yeah.
And yet, at the same time, email marketing does still work in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Do you want to comment a little bit about that balance?
Well, I think there's two approaches to email. One is for an opt-in permission-based list of people that have come to you and found you and have said, yes, I would like to receive email from you,
yep.
that's an absolutely good thing to do. That's just respecting the relationship. If someone says, please call me, and you don't call them, they're not going to respect you. Same thing if they ask you, like, hey, I would like to get some email from you, and you don't email them, that's bad.
Yeah.
On the flip side is if you're going around and scraping email addresses or sharing lists with another company or purchasing a list from data.com or things like that,
yeah.
that's not a good idea.
Right.
So I think there's two approaches to email, and that's sort of one way to think about it. The second thing is, as long as you're giving value to your buyer persona,
mm-hmm.
they'll like what you're doing. So pay a lot of attention to sort of the open rate is an okay metric. I think there's a lot of noise in the open rate because different email clients don't necessarily
yeah.
see things as being opens and whatever. But to me, it's the click-through rate. If you have a high click-through rate,
right.
then your email is engaging and people want to receive it. And that you may email them every day.
Mm-hmm.
If it's good content and they want to receive it every single day and there's a high click-through rate, then great, keep emailing them that often.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not getting a high click-through rate and high engagement, then you should really think about what are the things you can do to really drive more of that.
What about, and I don't know if you're in a position to answer this or not, but have you noticed any differences between the Canadian versus the American market and how people respond to different types of marketing?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know if I've noticed any really big differences. What I would say is, I think people in Canada are generally friendlier and more helpful than most Americans, right? And I'm not
okay.
saying this just to flatter you. I think it's true. And what I think is interesting about that is I think it actually makes Canadians very well suited to inbound marketing. because the whole point is that you're trying to be helpful to your customers rather than push them down into some sales process that you've defined.
Right.
And so I think there's a natural inclination to this type of marketing because you're trying to be helpful, and that builds trust, and then people want to buy from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's fundamentally what this is all about, is how do you generate more love from your customers? And I think, to be honest, I think Canadians kind of have an advantage there over us Americans. So.
Now, if only they'd figured it out and translated into more e-commerce. Right? Anything else that I should have asked you and I haven't thought to ask?
No, I mean, I think the big thing is if folks want to learn more about HubSpot, our blog is at blog.hubspot.com.
Yep.
And we also have a free tool called Marketing Grader, which is at marketing.grader.com. And that gives you a grade on your marketing. So type in your website and we'll grade it on over 30 different factors and give you a whole report back, totally free to use and totally open. And just, you know, check that out if you want to learn a little bit more about how you're doing in your marketing.
Yeah, it is a very cool tool. I've tried it. Thank you very much,
Thank
Mike.
You.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I enjoyed meeting and chatting with Mike. And if you are curious to see what he looks like, by all means, please go to the website, frankonlinemarketing.com, and check out the abridged video version. I'd love to get your feedback on which version you prefer and whether you'd like me to continue doing full-length audio podcasts or do shorter audio podcasts or do video clips only. So please do give me your feedback, Tema@frankonlinemarketing.com. And I won't bother recapping because I think he was pretty clear and had some really fabulous advice. Talk to you next week. Bye.